I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Yes, hello everybody. I am Tuke Edelo, and this is What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. What Would Save the World has, had quite a bit of changes in the past, couple of weeks, ever since Donald J. Trump became president. And recently the New York Times did an article about anarchy and the anarchists, as they like to call us, the anarchists. It's like we're like the alt-right. They're trying to make us out to be like the alt-left. Like we're also just as dangerous, because that's what like the media likes to do. They like to be like, all extremists are bad. And that's where you get liberals who are like, it's not okay to punch Richard Spencer in the face. Don't punch Richard Spencer in the face. That's violent. But MLK misused MLK quote. So today I am here with Eric, who is an anarchist like me. I am an anarchist. Did you know that? Did you know that I was an anarchist? Oh, I bet you did know. So we're going to talk a little bit about what anarchy actually is before people get the wrong idea, because already I'm seeing people post really fucking stupid shit about anarchy. Like, anarchists just want to have their, like, agenda, and, like, people are just, like, don't even understand. Like, what is... Okay, so why don't you tell me, Eric, what is the anarchist agenda?
Well, basically create horizontal autonomous communities of resistance against, like, capitalism, white supremacy, patriarchy. Pretty much it's a movement against all forms of oppression. It's more of like a social tendency throughout history, but it has roots as like an organized movement in the labor movement, but I like to expand the definition to include, like, any group of, like, marginalized and oppressed people who, are trying to build away from the system.
But it's also, like, without leaders, right? That's a big part of it. Like,
yeah.
The very, very basic definition of anarchy is, like, no singular leaders. But people have this, like, myth where they're like, oh, anarchists just want to be disorganized. And they also refer to the science term of it, which means chaos. But I would say that a lot of anarchists that I know are actually ridiculously organized, more organized than other people are, because there's a whole, like, you have to really be on board with your affinity group, would you say?
Yeah, no, definitely. The mainstream popular imagination is that anarchists come out of the woodwork to just, like, fuck shit up and, like, do their thing and, like, cause chaos, when in fact, like, it's very tightly organized in terms of, like, you got to know the people that you're working with and you got to trust them. So that requires a high level of organization.
Yeah, I want you to think about what people listening to this, like, do you trust all the people you work with? Like, or are you just together because you have this one boss who's hoarding resources from you? You know, that's something that I think about a lot, like, about how within our society there seems to be, like, people threatening to take your resources. You know, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, these singular people hoarding shit. It's mad fucked up. So when we talk about, what is horizontal organization? You want to talk a little bit about that, Eric? Like, what is horizontal organization?
Basically, instead of, like, a top-down hierarchy, where, like, there's a clear leader, and then there's, like, sub-bosses, and then there's, like, pawns underneath them carrying out orders.
Slaves.
Yeah. You organize together off of, like, an egalitarian sense, where everyone has a kind of equal say, equal footing, in terms of how you're sharing resources, information, just, like, labor and, like, human existence together.
And there's like in anarchy, there's a lot of talk about, like, lack of, like, ownership of property. Like, it's sort of like these things are shared, you know, it's like everybody's got, like, an equal piece of the pie. The pie. So let's talk a little bit about, like, the history of anarchism. So, like, there's been a lot of movements throughout history that have been anarchist. Let's talk a little bit about the Paris Commune. Can you talk to us about the Paris Commune?
Yeah, so the Paris Commune, it came out of the wars in the 1860s in Europe. France was invaded by Prussia, and literally the entire French society collapsed. In 1871, a bunch of workers, soldiers, people of the street, merchants, they all decided to band together to form like an intentional egalitarian society within Paris.
Almost like a, it was a little bit like anarcho-syndicalism and anarcho-syndicalism. So there's a lot of different kinds of anarchy. You know, there's not just like one kind of anarchy. You know, it's not this crazy thing where people like, you know, there's this line that keeps coming to mind of like, you ever see The Breakfast Club? Where he's like, he gets up, we'll all get up, it'll be anarchy. Like, you know, this is the thing where it's like, it'll be anarchy, it'll be chaos, it'll just be all over the place. Ah, but like, what people don't realize is there's actually like so many different like theories about anarcho-syndicalism is pretty much means that the industry, so you know how right now there's like the state, and we have something that like kind of looks like anarcho-syndicalism to some people, except we have like people who have a lot of control. But anarcho-syndicalism would be like if you have each industry or each, I guess you could call it affinity group, that's managing a certain part, like, you know, whether they're managing the water or the food, da, 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 they would, the workers, the larger body of workers would select their representative in the community. But that representative would be very easy to get rid of them if they didn't want them there. Or it would be rotating very, very quickly. More so than our society, where there seems to be a very large detachment between us and our representatives. Would you say that there's like a huge detachment? Like once they're in there, that's kind of it?
Yeah, definitely.
Like I like to think, when I think about anarchism and I think people are like, oh, well, how are you going to exist without leaders? I'm like, we have organizers and facilitators, not leaders.
Yeah, I kind of see, instead of like, there's a popular imagination that like anarchism is like a leaderless movement. It's more of like a leaderful movement. Like everybody has to step up.
Yeah,
to like, take on a type of like facilitating collaboration and organizing role. Everyone has skills to share to the movement, and that's what makes it so beautiful.
And that's part of what actually frustrates me about where I start. People are like, oh, that's just unrealistic. Like, people can't do that. People can't function without leaders, or somebody's always going to want to rise to the top. And like, that's, I feel like that's just so defeatist. And I also feel like, do you think people are really ready to be like responsible enough to be their own leaders? I think that like capitalism has trained people to be a little lazy. Everybody wants to talk about like, oh, capitalism, it weeds out the lazy people, but like it doesn't weed out the people who are too lazy to develop empathy or personal responsibility.
Exactly. Yeah, no, like capitalism pretty much makes people kind of like sociopathic and unempathetic to the struggles of oppressed people. You know, it makes bosses not care about how much they're paying their employees, whether they're getting adequate conditions, healthcare, education. It makes men not care about women as like equals, as human beings.
You think capitalism does that?
I mean, it's part of like a patriarchal structure. It's all kind of connected in terms of like capitalism, patriarchy, white supremacy, and like imperialism.
Yeah. So we're gonna call somebody named Nick, who's also an activist, an anarcho-activist, and we're gonna give him a call and see what he has to say on some of this stuff. So let's give him a call, and then we're gonna go back to talking about the Paris Commune after that. So here we go. Oh, there. Yeah, yeah. Whoa, that's a ringer. Some people are like, oh, we wouldn't have developed any progress if we had communism or anarchy. People are like, we wouldn't have cell phones. People talk like that. Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Nick, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. What's up?
Hi. You're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn, and I'm here with Eric. So, you know, as you know, we're doing an episode a little bit on anarchy because, you know, the New York Times wrote this article about anarchy and kind of portrayed it really weird, like wanted to portray us as this weird, violent extremist group. And I mean, I thought it was a little fair, but I just want to hear for a little bit from you, like, what do you think anarchy is? Like, what would you tell somebody who didn't know anything about anarchy? What would you tell them it is?
Well, I think a lot of times people mistake tactics with the goals of a movement. So, like, you know, people write those articles about tactics and figure that that's sort of like the end goals of the movement. But really, you know, to me, I would say it's about breaking down unjustified hierarchies, you know. So, like, if some form of authority is abusive or unnecessary, People are allowed to examine that and really think whether or not they want to obey those rules or not. So, like, you know, an anarchist society would be based more on mutual aid and cooperation rather than coercion and authority. So, and, you know, things like decolonization also are important. I would say, like, you know, the modern world came into being from colonialism, essentially.
Yeah, people taking what didn't belong to them and saying that it's theirs now.
Exactly, which is a form of hierarchy. So, you know, we have a hierarchical world. So we need to go back to the roots, really, of how our society is formed and think about what kind of world we want to create in place of it.
But how do you feel about, like, property ownership? Like, in terms of, like, so, like, you know, there's a lot of talk about, like, you know, decolonization, like, no colonization, mm-hmm. but there's also this idea in a lot of anarchist theory that I read that there should be no personal property, or there should be personal possessions, but not property. What do you think of that? No private property.
Yeah, well, personal property is just something that you use, you know, your phone, your keys, your car, whatever you have.
Yeah, that's like possessions, but like property right. as in land. Like, so like how do we right. avoid colonization if we're not going to have private land?
Right, well, yeah, because private property is pretty much something that other people use, but someone else has technical ownership of, which you cannot really enforce without the state. Mm-hmm. So people used to live really with communal ownership of land and property. It became a thing after colonization and after the Europeans forced that model on the rest of the world through genocide, that became sort of like the de facto system.
Yeah, but I own this, and now I provide for you, and now you owe me.
Exactly, and that is another form of hierarchy, because you're not allowed to provide for yourself. You have to rely on somebody else. You have to rely on, you know, some rich person or some sort of group to provide for you, and the only thing that you can do is work.
And that's sort of what we have right now. Right. It's like sort of like shadow slavery. You know, it's like, oh, well, you have everything. You have freedom. You can do whatever you want as long as you work. As long as you work right. for me. But here's the thing, though. Like, people don't understand, like, yes, people are going to have to work regardless. Like, nobody's saying in anarchy people wouldn't work. People would do what they could do. And, like, we would work within communities to...
Exactly.
Like, so mutual aid. Yeah, you were talking to me about this recently, actually, about... do you think that anarcho-capitalism is anarchy? Why or why not? I want both of you to answer
no,
this.
No, not really, because it's just weird to think about, is that that's a form of hierarchy. So how can you have anarcho-hierarchy, you know, when anarchism is based on abolishing hierarchy? So, like, anarcho-capitalism, they have this idea that if there was no state, people would just, like, divide everything into little plots of private property and sort of, like, rule their own little kingdom from there. But how do you enforce
property rights?
And we'd
all be free. It'd be the precious free market.
I mean, it sounds like It sounds like feudalism, honestly. Like
Exactly. That's why that has been the criticism. And there was actually one anarcho-capitalist writer, Hans Hermann Hoppe, who was like, "Yeah, it is essentially neo-feudalism, and that's good." He based his whole theory on pretty much saying, "Yeah, all the criticisms of it are true, but that's what we want."
That's kind of sketchy. I don't think that's anarchy. That's not freedom or equality.
It's not. It's not at all.
I'd love to tell some of those white boy libertarians that shit. So let's talk about that for like a quick second. So there's like people. So libertarianism in America means like economically conservative and like socially liberal. But libertarianism came from the term libertarian socialist, which actually is pretty much the same thing as anarchism. But they want to like pretend like it's this whole like capitalistic free market thing. And I just want to say something to any libertarians listening. You totally appropriated that term from anarchists. And,
damn right they did.
And I'm so mad at you.
Murray Rothbard wrote that this was like the first time that the right has stolen a term from the left and reappropriated it. And he wrote down
What's his name? So people should look him up. What's his name?
Yeah, Murray Rothbard.
Okay, yeah, keep going, sorry.
So he's pretty much like one of the founding fathers of libertarian and anarcho-capitalist theory. And he wrote that the term libertarian used to be a term that was used by anarchists. And he wrote specifically left anarchists. And this is the first time that we have claimed the term from the left, and now it's for our side. So that, I think, is pretty much admitted.
Yeah, they stole from us.
I noticed that a lot of libertarians and anarcho-capitalists just seem to be like white men, old white men, academic types.
The rich man's anarchism.
Yeah, it's rich man. It's anarchy for rich people. That's really what it is.
Yeah,
and I hate to say this, but Noam Chomsky has a lot of good shit written on this.
Yeah, he does. He's not my favorite anarchist writer, but he does have some good stuff on the subject.
I love how Noam Chomsky is such like a device. Like, he's such a divisive figure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he really is.
People are like, that fucking old white man. He just looks like Bernie Sanders.
I mean, the whole thing like of right-wing libertarianism, there's a reason why it's only around in that certain demographic mostly. It appeals to people who feel like they're losing their privilege and they just want to like strike out at something.
Yeah, they want to pretend like class and race intersect is not a thing.
Right, exactly. So, like, if you have these young guys who feel lost and whatever, they feel marginalized for some reason, and they assume that, oh, man, it must be because I'm white and there's all these minorities in society that are becoming accepted now. So, you know, that's pretty much where it comes from. The thing with, like, libertarianism is it doesn't really start off that way, but it could definitely go in that direction. That's why you see so many libertarians joining the alt-right.
Yeah, and that's why you see so many... It's so weird, like, so many libertarians, like, want to call themselves anarchists.
Yeah, because of anarcho-capitalism, yeah. And then they'll often take up the argument, oh, you know, that's the only true anarchism, so I just call myself an anarchist and everyone else is fake.
It should be noted that, like, with, like, the Pinochet regime, the right-wing regime in Chile in the 70s, all those economic policies, all those deregulations, the whole restructuring of that economy into like a fascist regime, it was all informed by the Chicago School of Economics led by like libertarian economist Milton Friedman.
Yeah, Friedrich Hayek, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it just kind of goes to show that libertarianism, like this American like free market libertarianism, always ends up translating into fascism. It seems like that's the end goal, is to create, like, corporate feudal hierarchy.
Yeah, I mean, it's so weird. It's like they want no taxes, but they want to, they're willing to pay property taxes, so they want their property be protected, but then they also want
guns. Right,
so
you still have a state there.
Yeah, they want a state there, and they're very, you know, they're very anti, like, social programs, but they don't seem to realize the police are a fucking social program for the rich.
Yeah.
Because police, except for Texas, actually I haven't looked into this, I have to figure out what the fuck it is in Texas, but everywhere else, property taxes and sales taxes pay for the police. So it just means whoever has the most, the police works for them. So it's literally like the libertarian quote unquote anarcho-capitalism sounds like one of like even more hierarchical than we live now.
Yeah, it could definitely go that direction for sure.
Like it's like this is mine. All right, Nick, I want to ask you, do you think we could live in a society without money? How do you think that plays into anarchist theory?
I think yes, but it would take a long time to sort of form that society, especially in this country.
I mean, Do you think that eventual goal of anarchism, though, is to not exist within money? Do you think that true anarchism, or what you view as true anarchism, could exist with money as a thing?
It could exist with money, but I think it's a good goal to try to strive to use it as little as you can.
How?
But like the way that I would think of it is like, especially here in the U.S., if you run things on a collective model, so you still have some form of business but run by the workers, where things are traded on a decentralized scale with decentralized currency, and try to prioritize bartering, especially.
Do you think bartering is capitalism, or do you think that's some, like, ill-informed bullshit?
No, I don't think that that's capitalistic. I think that's something that's been going on for a long time.
You think that's, mutual aid kind of thing?
It could fit in there. I think the concept of mutual aid is a little bit different than economics.
It's mutualism within, like, a monetized, like, economic system. So, like, basically, like, breaking breaking away from like capitalist for-profit society. If people are, if trading currency is all people have right now because there's no alternatives exist, then it makes sense that like you would barter or you would come up with a, like your own currency or just trade things in a market-based way without it being like a for-profit institution.
Yeah, I mean profit literally translate. I mean is defined as like getting more for what you put out. And what I like to think like in bartering, I think it's like you both get to decide that these things are equally as valuable. And money is like so strange because it's like people want to say that we should focus on like the gold standard, we did all this bullshit, but it's like what does money even represent? Like that's why I don't like money, because it's not like it's not real. It's not based on anything. To me it feels archaic to be like here's this like paper for food. Do you know what I mean? It's like
yeah. It's literally just a way to measure power.
Yeah, it's fucking
that's what
weird.
It is.
Fuck your power.
Yeah, they're just all those notes represent power, honestly. That's what it is.
So
because the people with the people that have the most have the most power.
For real. So Nick, I'm going to ask you one more question, then I'm going to let you go. I want to know, in your ideal world, what would it look like? And also in the second one, just in your ideal world, what would it look like? What would the ideal world look like?
Well, I would like to just see communities coming together and figuring out what's the best system for them to use without any sort of authoritarianism, you know, racism, colonialism, anything like that, which I think would start to fade away once you move to a better system. Sorry. And, you know, just see people, different groups of people have an equal footing in society.
You know, without any
sort of social hierarchy, yeah. So people have equal access to the resources they need. People have access, people have equal footing in society as far as different groups go. And we don't really think of ourselves really is divided into these different groups, you know, and that some are better than the other or whatever, you know, pretty much live and let live, let people practice their own ways, their own culture, their own way of life, and let them figure out what they need to do in their communities. Leave it up to the community.
For sure. I hear that. And it gets complicated because there's all this like racial class stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because of the way our society has been set up. It's just people are not on equal footing. So I guess is that the goal right now as anarchists to try to figure out how to get everybody on equal footing so we can rebuild our communities?
Exactly. And just try to give people visibility. Different groups of people who often don't have visibility, try to focus on those people. And try to, you know, make inclusive spaces. And, you know, really what you have to do is you have to start growing it from within your spaces, you know, so you can, the way that you do it is you have to create an alternative framework that could then start working and you have more people join this and divest away from what you're trying to build away from, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So is there anything else you want to add?
No, I guess I'm pretty good for now.
Okay, I want to say thank you so much for being on here, Nick. This has been awesome. Did you guys hear what Nick was saying? This sounds like a pretty peaceful anarchist, wouldn't you say?
I'd say. It doesn't seem like anarchism's all about chaos and violence. It seems like it's about creating something a lot more deeper.
Yeah.
In terms of relating to each other as people.
Come on, people. We got to evolve. We gotta evolve away from capitalism and patriarchy and white supremacy. It's pathetic.
Yep,
it's pathetic. Yeah. It's lame.
From strict gender roles, racialized. racialized roles in society. All of that has to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even like that. Like, it's radical, but it's not even that radical. Like, do you feel like what we're talking about is like so basic that it's like kind of sad that people are not on board?
It's common sense. It just makes sense when you think about it. Like,
yeah.
Why would you not want to live this way?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But anyway, Nick, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for being on What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Let me figure out how I can hang up on here. Fuck. But okay. Great. I think that was pretty good. What did you think about that, Eric?
No, I think Nick made a lot of good points. pretty much like trashed anarcho-capitalism to the, like, completely discredited
when it. When I wanted to do this show, a bunch of people were like recommending anarcho-capitalist to me. There are people who like really want me to believe that anarcho-capitalism is a kind of anarchy, and I don't think it's like, I think it's bullshit. I don't know why. So you know what I should have asked Nick about? I should have asked Nick. We'll ask Leah, who's going to be our next interview. But I still want to talk about a little bit about the Paris Commune first. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like we kind of, what that's.
Yeah, so basically the Paris Commune, French society collapsed. The people of Paris decided that they weren't going to live under an oppressive regime anymore. And they weren't going to live under French society. They weren't going to live under German society. Pretty much it was based off what Nick was talking about, mutual aid and cooperation. They barricaded the streets of Paris to, like, reclaim a territory, a free territory for themselves to set up the society they wanted to see. Nurses were voluntarily contributing their labor to the project, teachers, soldiers. The thing about this, it was all volunteer-based, like, no one in the Paris Commune was getting paid. It was a spontaneous, it was an organic, spontaneous creation of what you would call like a communist society, or like pretty much like communism here and now, like an immediate establishment of like an egalitarian, horizontal, autonomous community.
But we got to say that also a lot of anarchists did not feel like it went far enough. They felt like it didn't abolish the state within the commune as it had abolished it.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, because they're in the middle of a civil war, the military, the soldiers did kind of have like a still like a hierarchical authority over the rest of the communards. You know, and you see a similar type of thing going on in Rojava, Western Kurdistan, in Syria right now, where, you know, if you're playing in the middle of a war, this is kind of what happens, is like those with the skills to fight battles end up taking on a larger role in the society. So you end up having like kind of quasi military rule, which is something that like anarchists should really try to avoid in terms of, you know, because the military is one of the key institutions that anarchists oppose.
Yeah, and I think that that's, like, something that I think a lot about as an anarchist is, like, it's not about, like, it's about taking away power from individuals. Not from, like, individual leaders, like, people who are trying to control massive groups of people. It's about giving power to the people, like, in the sense, like, you think about, like, if New York City suddenly didn't have any food coming here, like, do people know how to garden? Do people know how to get their own food? Like, don't you want to have that kind of power? Do you want that kind of power, Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about skill sharing. So, like, this is how you avoid, like, the faults of the Paris Commune and, like, similar types of revolutions, is that you can't have just, like, one set of people with one skills and another set of people with a different skill. You have to share skills so that everybody can create the type of society they want. Like, if everybody has, like, education skills, medical skills, military skills, like theater culture skills, tactical skills.
Theater culture skills.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, the culture is important. Like, you don't want to have a serious, boring society. There needs to be culture with it.
Yeah, well, something that I wanted to say is about the Paris Commune. Bakunin, who's an anarcho-theorist, said that that, like, the Paris Commune was similar how he predicted the revolution would occur. It's a major city declaring itself autonomous, organizing itself, leading by example, and urging the rest of the planet to follow it. So, like, declaring yourself autonomous, it's very interesting. I urge people at home to, like, consider if we could do that, if your communities could just, like, declare itself autonomous. Like, this is, like, you know, could we do that? Could we take the blocks of our, in Brooklyn, and just be like, nope, this is ours now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a key aspect of fighting gentrification as well, is that the people just decide that they're not going to pay rent. They're not going to take it anymore.
We're not going to take it. No. Can we just talk about how much that song sounds like it's like a pro-choice song? We got the right to choose it. There ain't no way we'll lose it. this is our fight, this is our song, right? That sounds right. I feel like the people probably were singing that at the fucking Women's March. All right, so we're gonna call Leah now. This is another anarchist, and we're gonna get down with it. We're gonna get down with this bad baby. Wait, what? Here we go. Leah, is it you?
She.
Yeah. All right. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Cool. So I want to. We've been talking a little bit here. I'm here with Eric, and I want to ask you. So, like, if you were talking to someone who didn't know at all what anarchy is, what would you tell them?
Well, I would say that it's anarchy is kind of the state that we aspire to for society, I guess, and it's also kind of describes all of human history up to the point of, you know, civilization and especially of capitalism and the current system that we're in. And that it's sort of the same end goal of, like, communism, of, like, a classless society and, like, no state.
So could you elaborate a little bit on that before civilization, what that means?
Mm-hmm. I guess there's a lot of different forms of human organization, and before civilization, there was only like hunter-gatherers and people who were in slightly larger groups and maybe more like villages. And civilization developed in like a few places around the world about like 10,000 years ago, along with like agriculture, which leads to the horrible kind of agriculture that we have now. Mm-hmm. But and there's still people who live in that manner, of course. Mm-hmm. But basically,
can you give examples? Yeah. Like give examples of how people, there's people still alive today that live in that manner.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's still hunter-gatherers who are, you know, in the bush out in places that, you know, are hard for the mainstream people to live.
So, yeah,
indigenous people of more of places, yeah, that are a little bit more secluded, where like civilization hasn't hit there yet, but it's slowly and still happening.
Or they've like consciously escaped it.
I mean,
in the Amazon.
I mean, I have
just gone down with something.
I mean, I have a friend who was an anthropologist in his youth, and he said he used to visit these tribes, and when he went, they had this whole society, and then he'd come back like 10 years later, and they'd all have like cell phones and shit. Like,
yeah,
they'd been. I mean, I don't know if they had cell phones. I don't know if that was that time period, but they had all this technology, and they were just completely different. Do you think that technology has played a role in this? Like moving us away from like a hunter-gatherer society where we like understand how to respect the earth agriculturally?
For sure. I think the more technology gets developed, kind of the more dependent we become on it. And, you know, a lot of stuff seems to make life a lot easier, but
in the short
term, I'm not like anti-technology.
Yeah, me either. But I never thought of that.
How would technology fit into like an anarchist society?
That's a good question. I feel like it does help in the sense that it connects us on a larger level. Like a lot of people want to talk about how, you know, people seeing what was happening in the Middle East with like uprisings and stuff like influenced Occupy. So like it does have this element of human connection, which personally I feel like is necessary for creating a healthier society, is people being able to connect with each other more and see how other people live. And I think that the internet and technology helps us do that, but I think it also removes us from faces. Like when I talk to people on the internet, I feel like I'm so angry and mean. And like, I'm angry all the time. I'm an angry anarchist lady, but like, But I just feel like I'm better at having those conversations face to face. What do you both think of that?
I mean, you know, I'm on a phone right now to be able to talk to you so that you can put this on the radio, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No, but I mean, like, do you think that, like, it's easier to have conversations about difficult things when you can hear a voice or you can see a face rather than just, like, keyboard-written words?
Yeah, body language is, like, half of...
Communication.
Half of what
you think. Yeah. Do you think it's like, I don't even know what I'm talking about right now.
No, I understand. It's like, it's easier to really, this is why things like Occupy worked in terms of like having a space. This is why organizing spaces are important, because you need to like be with people as in like in person in order to like read the body language, have that type of like human connection between people. Where I feel like a lot of like text-based communication, email, social media, texting, you know, it's
like
just
a double-edged sword.
Because two people can read the same text in completely opposite ways. So
that's true. So I guess what I want to ask you also is, so how do you feel about how the media is portraying anarchists right now?
Yeah. Well. Anarchists tend to make the mainstream media when they do, like, a very specific thing, which is, like, go to a huge important event and, like, do black bloc and do property destruction. And it's kind of an intentional choice in order to make the news. But, of course, you can't control how they try to spin it as a bad thing.
And then the liberals freak out.
Yeah. Oh, they're so annoying.
It's like it's so like fucked up, because I feel like they're like 25% there and they just fall off. Do you know what I mean? They're like equality for everybody, but follow the law. Follow the law. It's so weird.
Yeah. And the ones who were there were ones who were at the blockades and stuff on Inauguration Day, who I think are jealous of the media coverage of the Black Bloc on that day.
Wait, what? Really? Please elaborate on this. People are, like, jealous? Have you heard people be like, they stole our march?
Yeah, there's a lot. So liberals tend to think that they're, like, they're, like, peaceful protests that don't have any impact, or, like, should be covered in the news. And they actually are, but only, like, after more militant protests, when the news wants to, like, show you, like, this is how you be a good protester instead. For example, like, the women's marches the day after.
I said to somebody that day, I said, oh, well, like the action of that, like, do you really think that's an action or a parade? And I cracked up so hard. Like, you're right, it's a fucking parade. But so there's a lot of talk about like diversity of tactics. You think that Black Bloc can be, it is, like you're saying, it is useful for the peaceful protest. Like if Black Bloc happens first and then peaceful protest happens afterwards, it's like they're going to get more coverage.
I mean, I guess the question is, like, how do we have, like, a more holistic diversity of tactics so that there isn't this, like, finger pointing and being like, oh, your tactics messed up my march and vice versa?
Is it weird capitalist-fueled ego?
Yeah, probably.
Like, do you know about, like, the history of the Black Bloc at all? Do you want to share any of that if you know, or if either of you know?
Yeah. I know a lot about it.
Okay, please tell us. Please tell us. Okay. So that those liberals at home who are there right now, who are like listening to us be like, those freaking anarchists, like, oh, what are they even talking about? Their Black Bloc helped our march. Excuse me, that was our march? We organized that ourselves? Blah, 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 capitalist ego. So listen to the history.
What's the history of the Black Bloc?
All right, so the Black Bloc originated in Germany in the 1980s, and it largely developed alongside Antifa, anti-fascism. So people would just dress up in like all black, love their jackets and helmets, and you know, fight away the Nazis, like literal Nazis in Germany trying to become relevant again, and you know, clearly it worked so far, and yeah, it spread to the U.S. in like the late 90s, and it's been used ever since against capital and fascism in particular.
I think that's an interesting point to talk about Germany, especially with the whole liberal free speech argument. Because in Germany, they have hate speech laws rather than free speech laws. So, like, displaying a swastika in Germany is actually illegal. And, like, being an open Nazi is actually illegal. And what do you think this whole...
I heard that Ireland just like the Hitler salute thing.
Wait, I'm sorry, I can't. You're breaking up. What are you saying?
That doing that Hitler salute thing gets drunk tourists arrested a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really funny.
Yeah. So, what do you think it is about? What do you think it is about the United States with like liberals in the U.S. like emphasizing like free speech, tolerance, like? This whole idea of like, oh, there's a marketplace of ideas and we should be able to debate everything. That doesn't really translate well in reality, right?
No, definitely not. I mean, they just fail to acknowledge that like we're always in this power struggle. I'm stealing that from Clamping. They just wrote an article about this. But yeah, they think that we're living in some kind of like debate hall. I don't know. It's not really what reality is like.
Yeah, and it's also like, I think that people are just not educated enough at what some of these white nationalists want. It's like, you know, it's just not the same. They're like, you can't be like, oh, we want equality and not like what that. They probably have, there's some good to what they're saying, but like there's not. They're literally saying multiculturalism doesn't work. That is literally what they are saying. And like, that is like completely the opposite of what the liberals at least think that they're saying. Do you know? Like they're saying, oh, everyone and equality, it's equality. I'm like, okay, well, they are anti what you're saying. Like they are literally anti multiculturalism. They are pro white supremacy. Like, how do you think any part of what they're saying is good?
Yeah.
I'm preaching to the choir right now. But I highly recommend anybody who's listening to this to actually look up what white nationalists and the alt-right believe. They are openly anti-multiculturalism. They don't even believe that that a country like America should exist. They don't believe that, like, and I mean, fuck America, because like America.
They don't believe in like a diverse society.
They don't believe in a diverse society. And also, I want people to like get it out of their heads that we actually live in a society where immigrants have always been welcome, because that is just not true. Like, yes, like eventually a lot of cultures were allowed to be here, but almost every ethnic or religious or cultural group that came here was met with hostility when they first got here, unless they were just like straight up like Anglo-Saxon white. So like that's like a huge American myth to think that like immigrants have always been welcome. But like, if you do believe in the fantasy of America, which is that like everybody can be here and this is a country for all races and cultures and blah, 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 that's great. Like, that's awesome. I'm glad you believe in that. But just know that the fucking alt-right totally disagrees with you. So they don't count as a culture.
Yeah.
They count as an anti-culture.
Yeah, they're openly hostile to Muslims, openly hostile, like...
To everybody, to LGBT.
It should be noted, like, anti-Semitism is on the rise. You know, there's been over 50 bomb threats against Jewish synagogues all over the nation since Trump has been elected.
Like, who the fuck you want to be in the history books?
Exactly.
I'm sorry, so, it makes me so mad.
Yeah, the fact that, like, the alt-right is so racist that they're trying to make Jews POC again should be alarming to any liberal or anyone who believes in that type of, like, diversity, tolerance, ideology. It just doesn't make sense of, like, how you could hold those beliefs and then also believe that, like, oh, these people have a right to preach what they're preaching. It's like, no. Like...
So, Leah, I'm gonna let you go in a minute, but I want to hear from you, like, what would your ideal world look like? And also, if there's anything you want to add that you feel like is important to say about anarchy or just any, what, yeah.
Okay. ideal world. I guess, I'll have to start with just this continent that it would look, you know, decolonized. And that basically would get rid of the United States, like settler state, get rid of all nation states, of course, but you know, on this continent, like Canada, Mexico, and give, most importantly, like have full sovereignty for Indigenous people so they can have their cultural resurgence. And I think we'll see that efforts for non-Native anarchists will be able to have great alliances with most of them, because a lot of their societies, especially when they go back to the kind of original instructions of their ancestors, they're pretty close to what a lot of us are envisioning already.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, isn't there that whole concept of like the next seven generations of like really being aware of like treating the earth respectfully and like actually treating it in a way that can be sustainable? And that's like one of the scariest parts about capitalism to me. It's like property over life. You know, it's like just like ravaging the earth for money, pretty much. Because like a lot of the stuff that people are like being excessively taking, the only reason why that is because people have focused on their like singular like businesses, where that's like if they don't have enough of this thing, they're not going to be able to survive. And it's this whole fucking crazy thing of just like back and I'm having a hard time explaining this right now, but I think you know what I'm talking about.
No, basically, yeah, basically the value of like having commodified land and property over the needs of people. You know, it's pretty, yeah, like you summed it up the best, property over life. That's really what the goal of capitalism is.
And you think that the Indigenous people have that together more. Is that what you're saying?
And especially when they're not, like, you know, they're not actively being killed and oppressed, you know, then they have room to really, like, yeah, go back to a really good kind of society, you know, because we have to heal all the trauma, and not just them, like, everybody on Earth really needs to, you know, destroy the systems that are causing that trauma, and then it's going to take many generations to heal from it.
We need to heal from it. There's a lot of trauma going around. That's, you know, this show, this is called What Would Save the World. We're on Radio Free Brooklyn, and that's what everything seems to come back to. Not everything, but all things is just trauma, you know? There's like a lot of trauma going on from these power structures, and let's break it down. All right, I want to thank you so much for being here, Leah. Thank you so much for calling in or letting us call you and talk about this.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there anything else you want to add?
No.
Thank you so much. Have a good one. Bye.
Okay.
So again, you're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. Today's episode is What is Anarchy? And I actually feel like, you know, it's sort of broad, honestly. Like, it's not so specific. You know, I feel like anarchy literally means no leaders, and then it expands. Like Eric said earlier, like to, you know, getting rid of white supremacy, getting rid of patriarchy. You know, it's about like equality and freedom. It's about equality and freedom with no leaders, and it's about organization of the people without having an authority figure, without anybody coercing other people or like telling other people what's best for them.
It's a movement against oppression.
Against oppression. That's what I used to say when I was a little 19-year-old anarcho-brat. I'd be like, lack of oppression. Lack of oppression. I believe in a lack of oppression. I just like imagine a little 19-year-old me with like a fucking like little like weird like buzz shaved head thing, be like, lack of oppression, and people like looking at me like I'm an idiot. And I'm really tired of that. I'm really tired of people being like, you guys are just like little idealists, and like that can't possibly exist. But that's bullshit, because of Indigenous people in what is now the United States living in horizontal oriented. Well, they had leaders. They did not have leaders, right?
Well, I mean, again, it's a movement against oppression. The focus on like whether we have leaders, it's like it means without rulers in terms of the traditional sense, like no kings, no gods, no masters.
But like, were there kings in Indigenous cultures? In certain ways?
No, there's tribal elders. There's chiefs.
And that's built on merit and time, yeah, rather than like property ownership.
Yeah, rather than property ownership, rather than like appointed positions. It's basically the people with the most experience and wisdom are kind of makes sense that they would like be the quote unquote leader of that society. They're not really leaders. They're just like people look up to them because like they've been around the longest and they have the most experience.
Yeah, and like that, and I can tell you, I used to live on what calls itself an anarchist commune. An anarchist commune, we didn't have any leaders, but we had people who had been gardeners for 25 years, so we would go to them with gardening questions. And if you had a question about paint, you'd go to me, because I've been a painter since I was a little acid kid. has anybody listening noticed that I like to talk shit about myself? Yeah, so it's like, so I definitely do believe in like a society where people listen to each other based on experience, but without them like asserting themselves over other people without their consent. Like, you know, if you consent to having a leader, like if I was in an organization and me and everybody else in that organization consented that somebody else was going to be the leader, I think that would be very different than what we have right now. But I actually don't even think it would be that different, because like, how do you feel about the fact that so many people consent to our system in the sense that they vote and think that the system is right? Do you think that means that liberals are voluntary slaves?
Well, I mean, I think voting and participating in the system is what gives its power. And again, what it comes down to liberals is that they're afraid of losing their privilege and the positions of power that they have because they haven't lived any other way. Whereas like more alternative cultures, anarchists, communes, whatever you want to say, like people have that experience of living outside the system. These people don't. Like, they don't realize how oppressive that system actually is.
Like, you can live horizontally. This does exist. Mm. Look into worker owned businesses, look into communes, read about the Paris Commune, which is, you know, that wasn't even necessarily, it sounded a little bit like anarcho-syndicalism to me. Like, I highly recommend reading more about anarchy, read about anarcho-communism, read about how that can tear down, you know, this like weird myth of private versus state. I feel like we just get stuck in these weird like good versus evil, left versus right, God versus devil. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Like this whole, like it's like a dichotomy thing.
We don't need binaries to understand
this. Yeah, fuck binaries.
Just, look at history. Look at what exists now. There's always people resisting. There's always people living outside of the system.
And they're much happier. They're much happier a lot of the time. And I mean, the only thing that I didn't like about it was like that I lived, and that's what I struggle with in society so much. Everybody is so bought by, like, literally bought by this capitalist system. And even like, there's a lot of like internalized like victimization. You know what I mean? Like, there's like all these people, like people who are oppressed, people who like friggin' like voted for Trump, who are like, well, I'm just not a victim. I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. Do you think? What do you think about that? Do you think that's like a capitalist trick? Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like how the right wants to talk about how the left thinks they're all victims. And it's like, you got people who voted for Trump who are like people of color. Like, what do you think of that? Like, do you think that that's like a trick for them to be like, I'm not a victim?
Well, I mean, that's more of like intersectional fascism. That's more of like people, they don't see unity amongst their people. They kind of buy into the whole American myth of like liberal individualism. Like, I'm an individual unit. I don't see race, class, or gender. I just see myself participating in the system. So that's why you have like Indians supporting Trump. You have Latinos for Trump. You have Sheriff David Clark, who is a conservative black man leading the Blue Lives Matter movement. You have Milo Yiannopoulos, a gay man who is white supremacist.
I don't think he's gay. I'm gonna tell you that, Milo. If you're really gay, you come here and you prove to me you're gay. And I don't think that that's like fucking like appropriate or anything like that to say that. Like, I would like, I can't even believe that I'm at this point in time right now where I'm like questioning another man's homosexuality. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I don't think he's gay. I think that he is a plant from the right.
Mm.
And do I sound crazy to say that? That I think that he is there so that they can have their weird little, here, see, we have a gay man on our
side.
Well,
that's the thing about the alt-right, is that even if you have all these different oppressed peoples supporting Trump and the alt-right, it's all about tokenizing, is that they don't see the larger picture. It's like,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if David Clark, one black man, says that racism doesn't exist, because you can see time after time again in terms of police brutality, gentrification, prison culture, that racism still very much is alive. Like,
yeah, fuck your little petty like exception to the rule kind of thing. It's like, just because you have there's this great festival that you should be submitting to if you're a comedian. It's called Cinderblock Comedy Festival. It's run by mostly women and femmes, and what they do is they charge less for submissions fees for everyone who's not a cis straight white man. Like, you know, this is, they, you know, they fight the money on the dollar or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? Like the wage mm-hmm. gap thing. And I told somebody that and they were like, well, on my job for Uber, we'd get paid the same. And for your job, I'd get paid less. Me, I'm a stripper. And I was like, all right, well, why does your two exceptions of the rules does not like excuse the bigger picture? And they were like, oh, you're right. Because the person I had this conversation with is awesome. They're not a shit. They were just like getting a little offended or something, I don't know. But like that's how I feel when the alt-right talks all the time. I'm like, all right, so your petty little exceptions do not excuse the larger picture. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what I want to say is there's a lot of places you can go in New York if you want to learn a little bit more about anarchism. You can go to the base, that's in Bushwick. You can go to the Mayday space, that's also like in Bushwick, Ridgewood-ish. You can go to Blue Stockings. That's in the Lower East Side. It's like an anarchist. Is it anarchist or activist?
It's somewhat anarchist. It's intersectional feminist. That's what they call themselves.
Okay, they're intersectional feminist bookshop. But they got a lot of great books on anarchy. And I hope that listening to the show, maybe you realize that you are an anarchist and not a liberal. And I hope you maybe could figure out that property destruction is not violence. And like,
I'd also like to plug like media websites, Crime Think. Mask Magazine, itsgoingdown.org. Those are all anarchist publications.
And there's also this one website that I love. It's called infoshop.org. Do you know that website?
Yeah.
It's great. It's got so much history. It's got like the FAQ. I don't know the fuck my problem is.
FAQ.
Yeah. Frequently asked questions. And it's got like, what is anarchy? What do anarchists oppose? Why do anarchists oppose the current system? Here, let's read a little bit about this because I want to talk about this. Why? Oh my God, there's so much. You should go to infoshop.org if you give a shit about any of this because they have it so good. Like it actually kind of makes me wet. I want to say thank you so much for tuning in to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm here every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. You can contact me at Took, that's spelled T-O-O-K, Took at RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at 2KEDALOW, 2 with the simple K. And if you're, you know, if you're listening to this, you can go on there. Chances are I've asked a bunch of questions on there and hashtag them with What Would Save the World. And you could, you know, argue with me on there. I would love you to email me and come be on my show, especially if you disagree with me, because I would love to debate a good anarcho-capitalist. By the way, you're actually a libertarian. An American libertarian. Okay, I really hate libertarians. I got a problem with this.
Yeah.
Am I racist against libertarians?
No, libertarians need to realize that they're privileged pieces of shit, that they're racist and probably sexist, and that...
But you can work away from that. There's hope for you yet.
They got it half right. You know, if you hate hierarchy in the state so much, you kind of need to realize corporations and private entities that are also hierarchical, you know, are kind of state-like. So
here's what we're going to say. Liberals and libertarians, let go of your power for a minute. Let go of whatever power you've been scared into losing and come hang out with us and get more personal power and get power for all of us. Doesn't that fit your little Care Bears rainbow idea of society? It sure fits mine. Anarchy is about having a little rainbow, beautiful, peaceful, autonomous society. But first we need to destroy capitalism and destroy the system. And, you know, that's not always going to be so pretty. Can you please, like, give me one example of when protest and when resistance actually looks super pretty? Like, I'm sorry this is not, you know, Protest the Musical.